Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. I'm Destin Legarry, and joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
If you're listening to the audio version of the show, thank you. If you have some time, please take a moment to leave a review as it helps us grow. By the way, on that front, quick shout outs to Deadwolf, ICN Baugh, Hello Adam, and Stax for the recent five-star reviews. Now, about the show. Today we'll be discussing the Destiny 2 ESRB rating from a father's perspective, how we feel about Iron Banner choosing Mayhem Clash, and our thoughts after a PC tease from Activision's Eric Hirschberg. But first, here's the news. In Destiny 2 news, Activision's Hirschberg said that pre-orders for the sequel are tracking amongst the top in Activision's publishing history, but more importantly, they talked about the content pipeline. They believe that they're going to be able to keep up with demand for the sequel with a stream of great content to keep pace with user engagement. It sounds like we'll have plenty to talk about regularly for the sequel. On the Destiny 2 PC front, they said that they are committed to delivering meaningful features that are bespoke to the PC community and to expect more on the May 18th reveal. We're not sure what he's teasing, but we have some theories in today's full episode of Fireteam Chat. On the Destiny 1 front, if you saw a tweet saying that Activision is adding something to Destiny 1, that is not correct. Activision slipped up during their earnings call saying new content would be coming to Destiny 1, but they confirmed with IGN and later on Twitter that they misspoke and confirmed that Age of Triumph is the last update to the original Destiny. Iron Banner is back, and it is Mayhem this week, running from May 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific until the 16th at 2 a.m. Rewards include the Clever Dragon Pulse Rifle, Silver Dread Machine Gun, chest and leg pieces. If you listen early enough, Xur has a 95% Twilight Garrison chest for Titans that is Int Dis, 93% Void Fangs for Warlocks, and 87% Don't Touch Me's alongside a Mita multi-tool. The May 18th reveal is just 13 days away, and I am ridiculously excited. Stay tuned to IGN for more soon. So let's jump back to the bespoke PC features that they're discussing. So I talked to James Duggan, a resident PC player. He's going to be playing a ton of Destiny on PC. He said mods were the first thing that came to mind, and not like flying around as Superman, more like UI mods, DPS meter, macros, FOV slider, on-cap frame rate, keyboard chat, linking items in chat. I brought up Forge. What do you guys think about that? Even from the field of view perspective, Fran, you and I were talking about this, for something like Trials, you can literally see all the way around your body at all times.
Yeah, for people with those ridiculous setups, that is one advantage to PC, or even if you just have a widescreen monitor, you can just see more of the map. Yeah. I mean, again, that's where we were talking previous weeks, like PC is just a different beast. We can't expect it to be the same thing. The only caveat I have is like, I don't know that that makes it a bad thing. I heard kind of both tones. I heard one side of like, oh no, it's going to ruin the game and change it, and they're going to focus on PC and it's going to become an e-sport. And nobody actually said that, but I sort of heard it in the back of my head. And then, yeah, I think the other side is it's great to have this new playing field. That's how I feel.
Why would it be a problem if it was an e-sport?
Well, we had previously talked a little bit about how it might be a bad thing if, at least in my perspective, if Bungie has to independently balance PC as a platform versus Xbox and PlayStation 4. That's all.
Well, Activision does.
Like in and of itself, it's not a bad thing.
No, you're right. The balancing act is actually that is.
But like we talked about how even without PC in the equation during Destiny 1, that it was problematic that they didn't independently balance PvE and PvP. Mm-hmm. And that already caused a problem for a lot of people. If they have to throw in PC, which, as Fran said, is a totally different beast, it may throw the balance into even more whack. May.
But you're saying you want them to keep the balance the same between PC and console?
I mean, I personally don't like the idea of knowing as an Xbox player that PC players are playing essentially a different game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They would be. They would have totally different meta for that product.
I mean, depending on the mods, right? Like, so let's be clear up front. There was a little bit of discussion on one of the episodes where we talked about mods in the past on YouTube.
Yeah, you brought up macros.
Yeah, like mod is just short for modification. That can mean any sort of things. It can mean like a slight change to how your UI works, or a script that allows you to switch guns faster, or in a particular way. It could also be, like you pointed out, GTA mods, which are essentially entirely different games that modify the whole game systemically from the ground up.
I mean, that one gets me the most excited because, you know, we're going to see Destiny movies now that are going to be easier for users to create because they can just rip the – they'll figure out how to get the character models out of there. I think the one in recent memory that was most locked down was like Injustice, but people got stuff out of there. Eventually, they were able to swap in character models on other characters. It was really, really interesting to see just how much the PC community can do.
Yeah, it's
now we're talking about game. Sorry, Sean. We're talking about game changing stuff here, like UI, DPS, meter, macros. That stuff would be really cool. That would be helpful. It wouldn't necessarily be a negative, in my opinion.
I mean, it depends on the context in which you're playing, right? So for esports, mods and stuff are really contained because the primary goal of an esport or a competitive game is that the balance is. No one's at an advantage, right? So, like, you have to have, like, a balanced competitive playing field. And so, for instance, one of the old mods in Counter-Strike was this, like, cartoony mod, which had, like, players had really big heads and super long noses. Yeah. And it made it so that, like, if you were using that skin set, you could see an enemy who was hiding behind a box because his nose was huge. And it's, like, you can see his nose sticking out.
Yeah.
And that puts you at an advantage that, in an esports sort of sense, would be unfair. But so
they figured out ways to balance that stuff out.
Yeah, what I mean is in a competitive environment, that kind of stuff has to be really tightly controlled. But like if you're just creating private matches, you want to have fun with your friends and go crazy with all these crazy mods, like that would be really cool.
So one note on this quarterly earnings thing for all you guys to know is that Activision was bringing home the esports genre and how like they see the future for Activision being in this esports division. They think digital players are going to be seen like football stars, and they already kind of are being with like Dota and LoL. And they kind of want to break into that realm, and they're kind of doing it with Overwatch right now. Mm. So I think I would not be surprised at all if Destiny also got their foot in the door. Yeah. They kind of tried it with Rift when Rift was revealed, and they did that Red Bull-sponsored thing where they had teams compete.
Yeah.
And they had private matches. I feel like they were putting their toe in the water, you know, to see what it was like.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think now that it's on PC, it has all the opportunity to be that. But that also what I would say is it does not take away from what I think we've seen is a huge casual but hardcore broad. It's got a huge depth of an audience. Everyone from kids to adults to everyone in between. And I think, again, I try to look at it that way. There might be this esports conversation happening. But actually, if you look at Overwatch as a decent example, it's not like, right, they're not balancing it just for PC and it's breaking the console or anything like that. So far, that hasn't happened, right?
CJ,
that I know of. I'm not a deep Overwatch player.
I think they are balancing console and PC separately for Overwatch. That was
I don't know about that.
Well, sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I've heard, because I'm not an Overwatch player.
Yeah, calling a consult from James Duggan.
Yeah, but I think that's the issue. To me, I don't want it to be a situation where if I potentially want to swap between the two of them, that the PC one is dramatically different. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. And
I don't think it will be. It'll just be
It's
different meta because you're going to have different UIs.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be dramatically different because you're going up against a completely different beast. Really, yeah, you are.
With the audience that's playing. But if the game speed changes or they start doing different things like that, that's where it's like to be able to go back and forth between them. I hope it's not dramatically different.
Sticky nades will be just as bad. Just don't worry. Now, tracking will be 100% accurate.
Additional tracking. PC only.
I mean, I have a little bit of a worry because if you look at successful esports games, what makes them successful is the developer doubles down on balancing it specifically for esports, which means like games like StarCraft, League of Legends, Dota, Counter-Strike, and Overwatch. Did I say that already?
No.
Those are the big competitive multiplayer esports games out there right now. All of those developers balance for the top 1%. Like, if it isn't broken for the pros, that's what everyone else plays. And so I just have a little bit of a concern that if Activision does decide to go that route and double down on the esports route, I will feel coerced to go play on PC.
So here's the full quote. Let's just read it here. He's responding to an investor who had a question. So with respect to PC, which you've asked about, we're committed to delivering meaningful features that are bespoke to the PC community, and I'm really excited about what we have to show for them, but I'm going to leave details of those for our gameplay premiere, which is going to happen on May 18th, and we'll have some additionally obviously exciting news on the game overall at that time as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's interesting is they're thinking about not letting you go and figure out your macros or whatever. It's we're going to put some stuff in there that's going to be bespoke for you.
And they have Blizzard on their team, so like they know how to implement what the community wants.
Yep.
One other thing, like we do this in Twitch a lot. We have like commands. If you want to see what your primary is, you can do exclamation point primary. Tells you to load out the drops on your roll. Like that stuff's just going to be in chat on PC. Yeah. You can just hit it.
I think that'll be awesome. Yeah. You know, just like sharing that information or like. I assume you can do the same thing, have a plugin that looks up a player's information right on your game screen. Mm-hmm. I assume. So I think stuff like that's awesome.
Instead of having to go into a menu, it can just be there in text form.
So I think that's the thing. I don't think it's negative, but I guess my fear is that it feels like, the PC might get so many cool features that may not come to console. And that's like, you kind of just want that to happen.
That's just the way that it is, though. And again, like, that's where I feel like we have a bunch of folks that are now playing on console, you know, talking about, like, oh no, the PC Destin. Like,
yeah.
He's cracking up. If you guys heard it, we're just going to throw it out there. Destin had a teleprompter that he had in his hand, and it dropped. It's not a big deal, but he's trying not to break.
I guarantee you no one heard that.
It would have been fine in 10 seconds.
He's staring at me, and he totally broke. It's like the SNL. Like, you broke.
I needed 15 seconds, and I would have reset.
Marty with the pen.
Let me get back to my point, please. Yeah. Oh, God. Woo! Shake it off, everybody. So, no, I was just going to say, like, I feel like, look, we don't play on PC as ton. I know you play Counter-Strike on PC, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But we heavily play Destiny on this, and, like, it's not a bad thing when the PC has, like, features necessarily. But the point is we need to have that other perspective.
But it is if you're the console player, because no one plays Counter-Strike on console. Like, that's the thing is it is on console, but you're a moron if you're playing it on that.
Like,
John Finnegan.
Like, no one does that. That's such a nice terrible.
What about a game like Team Fortress where there's a huge console there is a console presence, but a lot of people play on PC. It's
it's not wrong. I disagree with what you're saying. Who cares?
You got to be difficult when you get into that water. Overwatch right now is pretty good on all platforms.
But we're talking about esports and competitive communities specifically.
Right.
If you're again, like I would say the same thing. If you want to be a pro Overwatch player and you're playing on Xbox, you're doing it wrong. Like you have to play on PC. And I'm just a little worried.
If that's your goal.
If that's your goal. And that's what I meant. Is where again, we're talking specifically about
competitive
players here.
If you want to be an esports pro, I agree with that part.
The difficult territory you get into when you said it the way you did is I don't want the console players to feel like they're dumb because they want to play on console or alienated.
But that's what I mean is like if there's this shift in mentality on the developer side to what Destiny is, like at its core identity going forward, then console players might feel alienated because all this focus is happening on the PC front and none of those features are coming to console.
Yeah, Blizzard's PC focus. Yeah,
justify that by being like, well, the game is what it is on consoles. You're cool. If you want to play it there, that's cool. But really, all the cool stuff's happening over here. That kind of sucks for console players. I just kind of worry as a console player that I'll feel left out.
Well, guys, let's talk about consoles for a second. We had somebody call into speakpipe.com/fireteamchat. It was Big Daddy Tej, and he suggested making the D-pad mappable.
Great idea.
If that was our solution on console, how would you feel about that? Four commands at your disposal.
I mean, honestly, I think that was a feature that we should have had in
you
Destiny 1.
About
like
that.
It does in PvP and in PvE. it does emotes now. Like, yeah. I would kill for it to just be heavy, heavy on the left, burn heavy. Yeah. Like, oh my God, that'd be so great.
Yeah.
Stuff even like just that. Four extra commands that you can map to whatever you use most would be infinitely more useful than what it does now.
It would be interesting if there was an esports community on both the console side and PC side, and something like a mappable D-pad could change the game a little bit.
I remember very early back in Halo 3 when it came out, MLG was releasing all their settings, and it was really odd because they changed the speed of the game. So if you remember, do you remember playing Halo 3 way back when were you in the
esports? Totally.
They actually put the speed of the game to like 120% or 125%. So going back to regular, you know, Crucible, wow, regular PvP, Crucible and Halo. But yeah, it was weird that those MLG settings changed the way the game felt. That's my concern.
Yeah, I mean, that's how esports work is Counter-Strike's. Yeah. If you play regular matchmaking 5v5 in competitive Counter-Strike, the round times are 2 minutes. But in MLG play or in competitive play, esports play, it's actually 145. Yeah,
and they started forging things and changing the positions of overshields and all that other stuff.
The maps are also tweaked. Like, it's optimized and specifically balanced for competitive play. And that's how esports games thrive. If it doesn't do that, then they don't really work as well. And my worry is, like, if Destiny wants to make it work, they're going to have to do that.
Right.
And then that alienates the rest of the community who likes the casual aspect of it.
Could be good and bad. Me. Yeah, we could get the PC version, which would allow people to feel like, okay, you're specifying these specific things for PC, but bring them to console too. Like, maybe that could be one of those
things. Yeah, so I mean, I was going to say, we're kind of framing it like this is almost a bad thing for all the console players. And I want to say, that's not necessarily the case. We just worry because we're console players. Now, what you just brought up is really interesting, which
is
that
the PC if we want
all these. Well, that, but also, what if this renewed focus and interest and higher engagement on PC drives Activision to do similar, if not the exact same things on console? Mm-hmm. That would be really, really cool.
That's true. All I know is that the Overwatch community seems happy on whatever platform they're playing on. So I don't see Destiny like going on some dark path where it ends up alienating one of the platforms, for example. Yeah. The other half of the Activision call that was interesting was about the content pipeline. This had to be like really great news for content creators.
They canceled everything, right? I heard
that. Yeah, they canceled everything.
No, so there is no content for Destiny 2.
Here's the full quote, you guys. Destiny's engagement has been the best in Activision's history, and we now have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to keep up with demand with that steady stream of great content to sort of keep pace with our players' engagement post-release of Destiny 2. So as you know from our past, basically they're saying they're going to they're going to regularly release content throughout the life cycle, and it's something they've addressed a few times, and this has to be great news. Like,
but Destin, how come all that content isn't already on the disc? For $60.
I mean, that's probably the first comment that people are going to say.
That's just what commenters
who don't
play Destiny.
Before you even see what's on the disc, you would think that.
I mean, they also said their number one SKU that's selling is the one that's bundled in with DLC 1 and 2. So are we going to, from a revenue perspective, they want that franchise to make money for them.
Yeah.
So how would you guys feel if the content pipeline is going to be like one DLC release a quarter? Basically, until Destiny 3.
To me, it makes more sense now because the expectation for what Destiny 1 created is set. Like before, it used to be, hey, you're buying DLC and it's just maps. Now it's like it's PvP content, it's PvE content. There might be some, you know, miscellaneous things that get tossed in there for free. So without playing it, it's hard to be able to establish, you know, hey, this is what it is, right? So now expectation with Destiny is huge, and that's where they need to have the roadmap. Really.
Philosophically, one content pack a quarter sounds awesome. One new thing every 3 months, depending on what it is, right? Like you said, depending on...
And then what price is right, though? $14.99?
I mean, I would say...
$40?
Like they're saying
$19.99. How about this? Let me put it out there. Free.
Great idea.
Well, that was the thing.
It worked for Halo.
Well, no, for Destiny, the microtransactions that we were spending at the Eververse, we were told that that was going towards the free content. We did get a few free content updates.
Mm-hmm. That was a lie, I'm sure.
Well, no, it wasn't. They released free stuff, but it was a little weird.
You don't know.
Triumph is free.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, but I mean, Age of Triumph is not like anything. It's
old.
They
could have
content.
Not updated it.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like a House of Wolves.
I know, but like, it is Age of Triumph free.
Everyone had the expectation that Eververse microtransactions would lead to things like House of Wolves being free. And that's almost certainly not the case with Destiny 2.
But it's crazy when you think of that we're playing this, you know, all the new raid things. Like, that's a pretty sizable
It's pretty
update,
sizable, yeah.
You
know? That's
a, yeah, but I mean, you say new raid things, like, it's new. It's
no, but new
really
gear, new armor, and new, you know.
Well, Sean, it's not like one dude in the basement, like, built that on the weekend.
I'm not saying,
you know?
And again,
like,
I'm,
that took an art team and, like, massive investment of resources to get that done.
Yeah. Rebuilding the raid is no small task. That's not what I'm saying.
I get
but what
point.
I'm saying is
maps,
it's not new.
New mode.
New kind
like I would so love
Crimson Double.
Yeah, like
redoing
let's
the
call
tower.
It. Let's speculate wildly here. If a new quarterly content pack was, let's call it, three or four new strikes, a couple new story missions, maybe one or two new PvP maps, and like a mode, like you know,
priced at $19.99,
Sparrow Racing League type thing.
Yeah.
At priced like at $10, that would be or $15 even
or
for
free.
That. Well, I mean, I said free because I'm a huge huge Halo guy, and they've done everything free. Yeah, I mean, who isn't, right? But that's not realistic. I just like it as a fan.
Yeah.
But I mean, that would be fairly priced to me, right? If it was about that size,
I think it's going to be closer to the $15 to $19 range. If it's 40, I mean,
no,
people
yeah,
are going to buy it, but that's too much for that release cadence.
No, I think
that's. For a month, we paid $40 for the Taken King, which was
every 4 months,
a year of content.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a year versus something we would pay $40 for the every quarter.
So
that would
like
be too much.
Every 4 months, every 3 months,
like
right?
$19.99 is the model.
So much.
I would remember, right? Like this is what I've been saying for like years now. I feel like, but Destiny 2
might
lives
actually be
under.
Years.
Well, yeah, but it, no, I think it is. But what I always talk about, right, is Destiny 2 lives under a whole new infrastructure, supposedly.
Yeah, yeah.
It is
out.
A new engine or pieces of it. We don't know exactly, but seemingly it's faster developed. We've heard they want to do that. Well, also we know about Moon Studios and Vicarious Visions. We also know Activision, right? They have a strategy with Call of Duty where three, four publishers, five publishers working on it, so hopscotch. So
they have a DLC strategy that they need to meet for their investors.
There's always people working on something bigger, and we didn't get that in Destiny 1. Mm-hmm. The live team was about as far as you got. Now you have whole new studios, right? Right, shaders, loot box drops, you know, for Overwatch, whatever. I think we're going to see that world. So, I was going to get it. I think you'll see that $20 mark. I think you'll see some free updates as well. Like the same way, like, actually refresh my memory. Do you guys know for Overwatch when they did like the holiday skin packs? Were those just free updates, right?
Well, you can buy it's loot boxes, right? You buy
right, but they were free.
You can get them.
And Destiny had some of
that. It's like you can earn them or you can buy
them. I know, but the point is you can earn your gold and buy them. But I think you're going to see that blend. You're going to see the whole SRL, but the free holiday update type things and hopefully see more of it. Shaders, skins, emblems. Then you'll see actual $20 drops. And then I just think too, that's where I hope we do live in a world where it's not just, you know, a strike, a raid occasionally and a new map. I think hopefully there's more to it at this point.
If the DLC is hefty enough and like interesting enough each time and it's $20, then I might be okay with it, but I have to see what that content
is. If it has a raid in it every time, how would you feel about
it? It's not going to have a raid in it every
time. I know, but if it did, how much would you pay
for
it?
Well, for me, I would if the narrative is as great as they say it's going to be, the campaign, then I might be super interested.
But think about Sean. I mean, for the most part, besides like Halo 5, previous versions of Halo, and I'm trying to think of, you know, other games, but Titanfall did free content as well. But for the most part, it's only PvP maps and a couple modes that get released, right? So if you think about the fact that they're creating whole new PvE, maybe raids, maybe, you know, custom loot, weapons. There's a lot of stuff coming in at $20.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, yeah, we don't know that any of that is in there, but
It's like if you think,
like Fran said, like there's a lot of opportunity for them to do a bunch of different things and package it in a bunch of different ways. Yeah. Like you're right, we'll see your $40 yearly big content. We'll see your $20 hopefully quarterly. Maybe we'll even see free sort of like cosmetic only weekly or biweekly stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a good potential strategy. Now, it's hard for me to understand right now, right? But yeah, like an annual bigger release. You've got maybe – I was thinking more like three releases a year, maybe not four. I think that feels about right and doable when you have multiple studios. So anyway, I remember paying for Dark Below, and at the time it seemed totally worth it.
Which
and then
how
I played
much?
It.
$20?
Yeah. But then I played it and I sort of like, oh, wait, this felt a little stripped out of the game.
Spawn Trials.
That
was
one
the best
did.
Ever.
But under the structure of now what Destiny is. And that's why it's really important. What is the base game? you know, if there's already so much in it that when you add something, it sort of complements everything, you know, that can have value that's hard to perceive right now.
But now at least we know what Destiny is. Prior to it coming out, you know, it was a shooter. Now it's like nobody thinks that Destiny is just a shooter. You know, you wouldn't classify it as just a shooter game. So when you're trying to compare it to Call of Duty,
you play as Crucible, sure.
Yeah, because it's not really
just
a
shooter. What are you doing when you raid?
You don't do any of the platforming
challenges
like these.
You're right. It is a lot more than just a shooter, but when you classify the game, it's...
Yeah, it is a shooter. Well, right?
I mean, it is a shooter at its core, but think about what they were even branding it before.
So what's Borderlands?
Yeah.
Shooter. RPG shooter.
I mean, it's not just weird. That, though. That's too...
Wait, I think you guys are arguing...
What is the primary... Okay, but we're getting into the weeds with how we discuss to classify games internally at a place like IGN. You're right. But, I mean...
Real question is, who cares?
Yeah.
It's an interesting point.
It's like when you called, who was it who was saying Uncharted 3 is a shooter?
James Duggan.
Yeah. Like, he is right. Yeah. You do a lot of shooting in that game, but it's not a shooter.
No. But that's the issue. Yeah. So
you do a lot of RPG.
I feel like I'm about to make a food analogy. You better move.
Oh, you are. Right. Yeah.
So there was one other topic. The Activision call was super interesting, and I got this big block quote here from Hirschberg. So yeah, I mean, that's just some of the stuff that came out of there. Also today, we wanted to talk to CJ, who's a dad, about the ESRB rating of Destiny versus Halo, for example, that came out many years ago. You're a huge Bungie and Halo fan.
Yes.
And Destiny
huge
fan,
dad.
Obviously.
Many years.
So real quick before we get into it, as a not dad, I don't pay attention to ratings. What is the rating for Destiny?
It's T.
Is it T?
Yeah.
Okay. T-15. And I know very specifically
Halo
that...
Halo team?
No. Hey, so Halo 5 was the first
team. I know that recently. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird. If you look back and you think
it's unusual, it feels like a team game. Yeah.
But this is what I was thinking about the ESRB. Yeah. In general, just
the first
over
ones
the
all
years.
Had blood.
Yeah. The first, well, but even still, it's like you think about what that was in blood, like in 2004.
Purple blood.
Yeah. What did that
Well,
look
yeah,
like?
No, I know. Comic but I mean, we were talking about Mortal Kombat before off air. Like, that blood is like.
But that's not about the blood. Violent. That's about ripping someone's spine out and like showing it off to cameras.
No, but as far as the ESRB goes, it was about the blood because on Super Nintendo, they made the blood green and dodged that ESRB rating.
Mm-hmm. No blood in Super Nintendo. It was sweat. Genesis had a blood code, actually.
Yeah,
it was the one where it was green then. I thought that was the Nintendo version.
No, you're right. It had the mode where it was you could turn it off. There was a cheat for that too, I think.
Yeah, in Genesis.
No, you're right. It was the Nintendo version. They changed up the color of it.
Extra gory.
Yeah, Genesis is super gory.
More blood.
But yeah, that's the thing. So 1992 CJ, who played Mortal Kombat a long time ago, it was really weird because I played that in the arcade tons. Mm-hmm. Looking back at that, super violent game. Mm-hmm. I would never let my kids play that. Now, for full disclosure.
You don't let your kids play Destiny, but you let them play Titanfall.
So there you go. So this brings up a bunch of other questions.
Huh.
Because Titanfall is like, it was about, you know, robots. And I played through the Titanfall campaign. There's nothing in Titanfall that was like super gory. Obviously, I think a lot of the things like that. Well, no.
Except for shooting humans.
No,
you literally
shoot
break
people.
People's neck. You turn their neck all the way around and slit their throats.
No, but it's kind of like it's not like Call of Duty where you're like, you know,
gouging someone's eyes out.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so Titanfall is like robots.
Destiny's much more violent, you know, with the smoke when you kill people.
So Destiny is a little bit like scary in a way. If you think about like the ogres and, you know, oryx and those kind of things. So I get why that it has a T rating. But
Kingsfall's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, it is super creepy. So we were talking about this, like, you know, will I let my kids play Destiny? And for the most part.
Destiny 2.
Well, so that's the thing. I have not let them play Destiny 1 yet. Will I let them play Destiny 2 also? I mean, this is the question.
Kids.
And I think
dad.
Yeah, you know. I mean, so what? One of my sons is almost 11. The other one just turned 8. And then I have a 2-year-old. So 11. The 2-year-old's definitely getting into Destiny.
That's right.
What grade are you in when you're 11? It's like
grade 6.
6 or 7, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's time, CJ.
It is time. So my biggest fear is him getting better than me, which just worse. I mean, it is going to happen.
What a great dad.
So the other thing is just playing first-person shooters in general is like an issue. You know, it takes this different kind of mindset to play them. I didn't want them playing until about that age, really seeing me play them. But so, yeah, to you guys, like you don't have kids, what do you think about? Do you remember even the early days?
Are you going to let them play it or not? I feel like it's the longest answer ever. You gonna
make
let them
a
play?
Call right now on the show.
He's trying to decide, apparently.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't realize
up,
that.
I mean, I don't.
This had a point to it.
It does. I want to tell it after.
I'm very against this idea that like shooting in games makes people or gives or like makes them violent or makes them accept violence easier than if they hadn't.
Well, they're already playing Titanfall.
Yeah, like it doesn't, I don't think shooting, like, let's be real. Shooting in games is objectively more fun than a lot of other types of, like, mechanics, right? Like, it's a lot of fun
to
do.
Yeah. I get your point, by the way, but that's easy to say when you're already desensitized. We grow up in, you know, a world superpower that's born out.
But that's the thing is, like, if you're going to – I mean
– some people don't know guns very closely.
To figure out CJ's slider before you continue, where does GTA fall? When can they play that?
I mean, how is that even a comparison? Well, of course not.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
Of course not. What age can they play it, though? He's 11 now. When can they play GTA?
Okay. So a lot of these kinds of games it's a personal decision. It's like they gave the games rating for a reason, but again, within the context of like parent, you know, over.
Well, disclosure, my dad won't let me play Destiny. I've been he still won't let me do it. But it's
great that you're considering this stuff and actually using the rating system because
the rating system is nonsense. It's like the movie rating system.
So think about that. He actually plays the games.
Yeah, he figures it out for himself.
Well, this is what I'm saying is like parenting. I don't think is looking at the rating system. I think it's looking at the game and making a judgment based on
what you think is best for your kids.
The
best way to do it.
I'm not saying he's not doing it. I'm just saying it was like when we're talking about
just trying to commend CJ. Can you give the guy a break?
I'm complimenting the guy too. I'm just saying that the ESRB is nonsense. So is the MPAA. Like it doesn't do anything.
Supposed to be a guide, but it's by the way, it's supposed to be guidance for parents.
Supposed to be.
You're nailing it. Which the parents that just look at the boxes and give it to their kids and. That's what you don't
want. Without coming to IGN and looking at a review.
Oh, yeah. I've seen dads buy their kids Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, here you go, 12-year-old kid.
Well, and most of those parents aren't playing the game. And so that's the thing. They're not playing the game. They're just going, oh, whatever. I've heard this game is popular. Yeah. Even with the rating there, going like, oh, I'm sure it's fine for my kid.
It comes down to a responsibility thing, which is like parents are like, well, you can't expect me to play the game and make a value judgment. I don't have that time. And it's like, well, you're deflecting your own responsibility as a parent.
It's just bad parenting.
And then you're blaming the game when your kid does something like, oh, it's so backwards. It makes me angry. That's why I don't get it when people are like, oh, well, video games are too violent. You're like, you're going to demonize video games when the world is the way it is right now. Like, I think video games, even if they are violent, which I don't think the violence, impacts violence in like a character way for
lots
people.
Of studies about that. People can read for themselves.
Even if it is true, which I don't think it is, it's far less impactful than like seeing murders wildly on TV.
Parents are a way bigger part of the problem than anything else. Is what I would say.
I'm not a parent. No, I mean that's the thing. Think about movies like Avengers.
How do you feel about all the other parents in the world?
They're all doing a fantastic job. But it's difficult. I mean, it's straight up. There's no rule book. Like, that's why the ESRB is a rating system where you should be engaged with what your children are doing, but then also be aware that, you know, what is good for you may not be good for somebody else, right?
So the conversation was Halo 1 was rated M.
Right.
Destiny's rated T for teen.
Yeah. No, it's in both of them.
And looking back at Halo 1, is that an M-rated game now?
No.
Definitely not. And that's the thing. So looking at like how much, you know, if you think about like desensitized we become, Destiny, how many years ago?
Yeah, or like
for sure that's an M-rated game.
Look at the first Mortal Kombat, that's M. Look at Mortal Kombat now, which is like extraordinarily violent. So that was the other thing. I actually had this old man moment too, watching the latest Mortal Kombat X. Was that it?
Yeah.
Like I remember seeing all of the fatalities.
You made
a video that was like every brutality and fatality in 1080p 60.
Yeah.
And I watched that and I was like, oh my god! Even I, as someone who is very, I would call it desensitized to violence and in movies and in video games, I don't care at all. I was watching this and I was like, my God, kids are playing this? Like,
escalation.
That's insane.
Well, it's rated M. They're not
only if their parents are.
So, but so I mean, long story short,
ever answer the question.
Yeah, I will. I mean,
what is the question?
The question is, should you let your kids play Destiny as a teen rated game? And for the most part, I think that's up to the parent. But I mean, I think that an 11-year-old at his age, my biggest thing with him playing shooters in general is that they become, you know, they're very addicting.
CJ?
Says the guy
really, who Destiny CJ
plays trials an awful lot on the weekend. So I do want them to appreciate other games for the genre that they are almost before they go there. Like they're playing Zelda Breath of the Wild right now. Love that game. They're playing a bunch of those other games where I feel like getting them into these kind of shooters, they'll almost omit those type of games. And that's my bigger fear.
Zelda? T?
Yeah. No, I mean, not even
T,
probably.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's below
actually.
T. Is there a G? What's the
well, you, G you or PG? Kill goblins by everyone. Drowning them. I
yeah.
mean,
oh, but, it's E. Yeah, E for everyone.
Also that, yeah.
So wow. even that, so even just thinking about those games, and for the most part, I've even like gone through the ranks and hey, before you play these 3D games, you gotta actually like, you know, play the old school NES but, games, play the Super Nintendo games. So there's like a, you want them to experience those things in a linear kind of way. And
I think that's where you need to ask yourself what, your kid is gonna get out of the experience. And yeah, like that's a great way to look at Zelda. I think like, Zelda's a great game. It's like got real like problem solving, puzzle solving. Yep. It's exploration, but there's like, you know, the cooking, the memorization, the, it's got a really nice variety. And yeah, like to that point, what do they get out of Destiny? Certainly dexterity. Yep. There's definitely problem solving in raids.
Strategy, but, execution.
But you're right. It gets to a point where it's repetitive maybe, and then that is where it's like maybe you want to make sure they try other stuff. Like puzzle games, honestly. I think kids don't play enough. They think they're boring.
That's so true.
Yeah. They are really like useful. They're really
Tetris,
great.
Tetris, man. One of still one of the greatest games. Mind exercise. I mean, you've been playing – we've all been playing shooters probably since we were very young, right? I would say we all turned out right. I think it's more about – implementing the right values with your kids and less about.
Show your shirt.
Yes, I am.
Oh my gosh.
What is happening?
I got it.
Oh, God. Wow,
wow. What a troll, dude.
I was like, what is he doing?
Showing off his serious conversation.
To Fran's camera. You blew it, producer in the back.
And Destin showing
Boom.
Little Destin L. Very nice. I like it.
Oh, there you go.
Wait, can I get the shirt without completing the book?
No, you got to do the book.
Destin's got his
the whole thing.
Nice.
You got the
what colors can you get this?
We're going to complete those.
Blue. Bright. Bright blue. Oh,
true blue. Man.
Yeah,
awesome. Very subtle, Destin. Very subtle.
Yeah. Way to derail the conversation.
Yeah, we're back to the super serious conversation.
No, Destin gets
what he says.
I'm just saying, in some, it's more about implementing the right values and with your kids and what they should be taking away from games than what they're playing specifically. Because I've been playing shooters since I was like 4. I think. I don't know. When, how old are you when you're, I mean, how, what grade are you when you're like
so
5, like kindergarten and stuff?
When I was 5? Right now, but.
I mean, like, what was the first shooter I played? Had to have been like.
GoldenEye or something?
Yeah, or like.
No.
Time Crisis.
Like shooter or something? Like, you know.
I wouldn't call that a shooter, though.
Like Doom or Wolfenstein? Like PC?
Okay, but.
Oh, but I mean, like, first person
shooters, yeah.
What was.
Yeah, the first person shooter.
Realistic.
Yeah, would have been like. Time Crisis or GoldenEye on console, somewhere around there. I would have been like 7 or 6. Yeah. And
like Call of Duty 1, Call of Duty 2, maybe? No, I'm too old.
Yeah. Oh, I wait for the back.
Mine was Wolfenstein, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Doom and Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
Of course.
Doom.
I would have been like 5 when that came out.
Yeah.
And I remember playing that at like my mom's work when she had this. When she's a doctor, I'd go to her office and hang out while she was finishing up with patients after school. And I would just play on her work PC because that was where it had.
That's the thing, like almost pre ESRB. Like nobody even really knew what the ESRB was in those olden days, but even
Doom,
when it came out.
Yeah, but like
out,
Doom and Wolfenstein for that time and even now are very violent games.
Oh,
and
for
I turned
sure
out fine. And I think it's because I had good parents. I think it's in the absence of good parenting
for
when
sure
things that have maybe a tinge of bad influence become more amped up.
Yeah. Mm. And again, non-regulation of like hours and what they're doing online.
You guys
and,
are really good about
yeah
that.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of things that to be like
in, CJ's playing all the time.
12 hours
I
only.
Know, and that's the thing.
They can't get on because
45 minutes, guys, and that's it.
Daddy's
got to
play. Yeah.
But I think that's the bigger issue is a lot of parents who are not gamers, and this is beneficial for me, is that I know what the games are like. I'm usually playing them far in advance. So I don't have a problem with certain games that I know are going to be okay. But for the people who aren't, yeah, it's a serious like challenge. And
your kids
want
to play with you?
Yeah, and so this is what I joke is that once they get to that point, like I have a trials team set for life here. Like get the dexterity up and get Charlie and Isaiah in there,
yeah,
and I'm sure they'll
ready,
be I'll have like the squad of three.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say I think a great way to approach it is like whatever, if your eldest is ready, play it a little bit with him, but say we're only playing together. That's our sort of our time to play it, but he can't play it on his own maybe, and you sort of that way you really can monitor it.
Yeah.
And make sure he's seeing the right stuff and doing the right stuff. Also online communities and all that whole other discussion.
Whole other problem.
Actually a little dangerous. You know, suddenly they're getting influence from people online. And
I
so
mean, the sequel even seems to deal with death in some very
– we don't know if the sequel is a little more gory or real.
Yeah, so from a storytelling standpoint, I'm less concerned about those things. It's, playing online unsupervised and all those other things, which, again, it was really weird. For the people who tuned in last week, I did stream for the first time.
Yeah.
I did some PvP late at night, and I think there was somebody on the other side of the world who joined in. And I was like, yeah, sure, why don't you jump in?
When I was a kid.
Yeah, of course, we sent him a private match, and he's like 14.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Hi, CJ.
Hey, guys, thanks. And I was like,
The squeaker.
Okay, here we go. And so again, everybody then instantaneously goes into PG mode, and we're all pretty good. Like, I'm a PG kind of guy anyway, so I don't usually drop any swear words.
You are Canadian. Game,
and I am Canadian. But it is weird that even in that context, you go, okay, how old are you?
Yeah.
Your parents know you're playing, and then you start – everybody does that, even if they don't have kids, like as a dad for sure. Yeah. But even the people that I were playing with were like, okay, guys. But then, of course, this kid is sniping our faces off.
Because he's so good.
I just want to like curse and swear out.
So I produce a bunch of the other shows here at IGN. On NVC, Pear brought this up, but like he was playing Mario Kart with his kids. And if you've played Mario Kart, that game can be really frustrating. It feels like – it looks all cutesy and fun and stuff. It's like Mad Max when you're playing online. Like, it is so intense.
Real, yeah.
And he's like, even he can't like fully hold back all the time. And he'll drop like swear words here and there and stuff.
Yeah.
So you got to be worried about, I mean, that's one thing that I am not envious of any parent nowadays, because like in my day, you didn't really have to worry about other players talking to you because online hadn't been developed really.
You had to go to an arcade.
You had to go to an arcade, or
worry about real people.
If you were a PC guy like me, you only could talk trash at like LAN parties, which you had to unhook your computer, bring it to a physically different location, pay an entrance fee, and then play for like the whole weekend.
But I love talking trash. I mean, that's one of those things. I do PvP late night with people like The Future and Bilzak and even Stev, who beats me all the time. I love talking trash. It's a total perk.
It like, totally is.
Yeah, it's just like a
it's part
like,
of the game.
Yeah,
it's
a psychological thing to do, and I don't mean any ill will by it at all. I think that was the reason why when they eliminated proximity chat from Halo 2, part of me died. I was like, I love going in there for those flag kills, going, crouching on the guy and knowing you're within like 10-foot range and they could hear you and then your voice drops out. I was like, oh, I miss that so much.
The
but
troll.
Yeah, it's fun. So, proximity chat for Destiny 2.
That would be
bring it back.
That would be so
put it
cool.
on if it's possible.
I would.
I would love it. I would love it as a Titan, like coming in with a Superman dive, being like, hello, surprise.
Dude, you have like a soundboard.
Oh my god,
people
it would
be shoulder
so
charging
fun.
Me
stickies.
And oh gosh, and just the sticky folks.
That's the PC
oh, I would
mod.
Love it.
Yeah,
we'll
have that on
a quarter shoulder charging friend to be like, sacked.
Yep, exactly.
And
oh,
he's
down.
Great.
Yeah. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
That's fun, man. Like, that adds to it. But yeah, I mean, you get those kids who are or not just kids, but people who are way too into it, who can ruin the fun for other people, or especially if you're like, if you're worried for your own kids.
Yes. So long story short, we'll let my kids play Destiny 2. I might even let them get started on Destiny 1 in the next little bit. The issue is, no, thinking about it now, it's like, they can't play on my character. So now I'm going to have to like buy another PSN account, another thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think to bring it full circle, like Destiny of the shooters is probably tame, right? Like there's parts of it that are creepy and in terms of its like creature design and stuff. But as far as violence goes, it's not ultra violent. You're not like... like you mentioned, Call of Duty, running up behind people and snapping their necks. Yeah. It's not at all like Mortal Kombat where you're like pulling people's spines out and stuff. Yeah, she's a little creepy, but she's a nice person.
Is she?
Come on,
Sean.
She gives you raisins.
She gave you her ship.
She's gonna turn. Her eyes are bleeding.
She let you destroy her ship.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Right. But yeah, so long story short, I think totally gonna let them start into Destiny 2, maybe Destiny 1. I am excited though, and I do think again the game being rated T for teen also helps sales a bit as well. I mean, it's the same thing with like a PG rating and an M, you know, an
R movies
rating.
Don't gross as much.
That's the thing. So I get it, and from that standpoint, you know, it's kind of like the Disney version of shooters in a way. You know,
All right, guys, we're gonna wrap it up. Thank you so much for listening or watching. Be sure you check out our top 10 features that we want in Destiny 2, produced by James Duggan. We had a lot of input. Don't
it's
worry,
good.
Oh yeah,
we talked to him quite a
lot. Of those
bit.
Features are things we've discussed here on the show.
Definitely. That is it for this episode. So until next time,
Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it.
Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Linsky.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.